Witches, wizards, and warlocks, welcome to my talk on manipulating time with GDB. Well, that's what I would have said if it wasn't for the RR talk that came right before me that taught everything that you're supposed to know or that I was going to say. So instead, let's talk about how you can help us make manipulating time with GDB even better, right? So let me give a quick summary of what I'm going to be talking about. First, some introduction in case you didn't catch the previous talk, in case you didn't, you have no idea you were sleeping in the talk or something. I don't know how you would. It was a pretty good talk. I'm then going to go into the technical details of how it works. And as I explain how each little bit is working, I'll also explain to you why this little bit might be buggy. And then I'll give you a couple links, a couple QR codes to where you can see the list of bugs that we have open. And then you can pick your favorite. And I'll give you a little request to help us fix them and some contact information if you're not comfortable just throwing an email to the void of the mailing list and you would like to talk to someone who you think is a person. Right. So let's go from the start. What the hell am I talking about? Or first, who am I? Hello. I'm Guinevere. I've been hired by Red Hat to work on GDB. I've been doing it for almost 3 years, and just recently I've been appointed one of the maintainers for GDB for one of the specific areas that does reverse debugging in GDB. And one of the things that I like to do is help people get into contributing to open source. I always wanted to contribute to open source when I was in university, but it always felt like an impossible task. I would need to be like some sort of genius to do it. And then as I started doing it professionally, I realized that there are some people who aren't geniuses like me who are doing it, and I wanted to spread that around. What is this GDB that I keep mentioning? In case you don't know, GDB is a very famous debugger for C, C++. It's been around for like 30-something years, not sure how many, more than 30. But yeah, it is basically, if you're a time wizard, it's your best friend. It can slow down your program, it can stop it altogether, and as you just learned, it can also make it run backwards. I call it time travel debugging because it's much more fun than reverse debugging, let's be honest. It lets you undo instructions and full statements and even maybe sometimes go to the very start of the program. And it's very useful for a wide range of things, from race conditions to just logical problems to just understanding the code that you don't understand. All of this was mentioned in the previous talk. If you didn't manage to catch it, I'll give a quick run over, and then you can use what I teach here to go back in time and see the previous talk. So, since a lot of people were here in the previous talk, not many of you will be asking. Many of you might be asking, how is that possible? Not many of you would be saying that's impossible, which was my joke. So I'm just going to go and explain, like, how is this possible? Because CPU is not meant to execute backwards. It doesn't have a way to just, you know, undo things. So let's go with a simple instruction. This is an x86 instruction, just adding one to a region of memory. And this one sounds like it would be very easy to undo, right? You just need to subtract one from the memory. You can do it arithmetically. Sounds like it. It's not quite that easy, because whenever you use the arithmetic unit in the x86 CPU, it overwrites some stuff, so you cannot just undo things logically. The best way to do it is to instead just remember, hey, I'm looking at this address of memory. It is this long, and it has this value. And then you save that in your program. But as I said, this is the arithmetic unit, so we also need to know the flags that were there before, because it's going to get overwritten. And every single instruction that happens will also increment the instruction pointer or the program counter. I use those interchangeably here. So we need to remember that. And if you basically created this in your program, inside your program, and then you added some markers here and there to say, like, OK, between these ends is a single instruction, then you get exactly what GDB record pool does. This is the area that I'm most familiar with, and it's the area that I maintain. It does exactly what I showed you and nothing more. So there are good things and